that right doctrine is not the end of the process, it's the start of the process. For example, in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, you can have all knowledge and all wisdom, but if you don't have what? Love, it adds up to nothing. So right doctrine is important, but it's the foundation, it's the starting place, it's not the end result. The second level of maturity in our lives, Christian maturity, is right behavior. It's great to have right doctrine, to believe the right things, but then God says, I don't want you to just be a hearer of the word, I want you to be a doer of the word. And so we have to begin to live out these things that we are learning. And even there, that is not the ultimate. Because remember in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, Jesus says, if you're at the altar and you're presenting your offering, and you remember a brother or sister that has something against you, remember what Jesus said? Leave the religious activity you're doing, leave the altar, and go make things right. In other words, Jesus says, don't waste your time and don't waste God's time doing a whole bunch of religious activity when there are broken relationships in your life that you haven't dealt with. Doctrine is foundational. Behavior is really important. But here's the third level of maturity, and that is right relationships. That's where God's trying to get us to in our growth with Him. Matthew 22, you know this passage, Matthew 22, 34 to 40. Jesus was once asked, what is the greatest commandment of them all? Do you remember that question? And if you read through the Old Testament, man, there are a lot of commandments and a lot of laws and regulations. Jesus, which is the most important one? Do you remember what He said? That's the second one. Did you remember the first one? There you are. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And secondly, love your neighbor the same way you love yourself. In other words, Jesus says all of the commands are ultimately come down to relationships. A right relationship with God and a right relationship with people. To God, nothing matters more than relationships. Your relationships matter to God. How you treat people matters to God. Jesus said in John 13, you may know this verse, take a look on the screen or you'll see in your, if you have your notes with you, says this, a new commandment. By the way, He said this to His disciples just before the cross, in those final hours. This is some of the most important things Christ had to communicate. He said this, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this love, all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Of all the things He could say, He's calling His disciples, He's calling His followers to love God and to love one another. That's Christian maturity. And so today we're going to try to wise up when it comes to relationships and how we deal and handle people and treat people. And I want to show you five things today that I've discovered in the book of Proverbs about relationships. Here's the first one. If you're wise, you're going to honor your mom and dad. If you're wise, you'll honor your mom and dad. You may know in Exodus chapter 20 is where we read about the Ten Commandments, God's top 10 list. There are 10 commandments. 5 of them are vertical, how we are to relate to God. 5 of the commandments are horizontal. And the first horizontal commandment, the first relational commandment on a human level is verse 12, where it says there, honor your father and your mother. And when you read through Proverbs, this parent-child relationship is so crucial. It is so important. God values and esteems that relationship. Let me show you a few verses. Now, there's many, but let me just look at a few. If you have your Bible, let's turn to Proverbs 1 to start with. Maybe you're already there. And I want to warn you, we're going to be flipping around quite a bit this morning, so I hope your fingers are ready to go through Proverbs. Proverbs 1, verse 8, look at what it says. Listen, my son, to your father's instructions. Don't forsake your mother's teaching. That's where wisdom begins. Listen to your mom. Listen to your dad, to what they're saying to you. Look at Proverbs 10. Turn over to Proverbs 10 and verse 1. Proverbs 10, 1. The Proverbs of Solomon says this, a wise son brings joy to his father. A foolish son brings grief to his mother. And so wisdom and foolishness, of course, are contrasted here. A wise son is going to bring joy to mom and dad. Go to chapter 15 real quick. Proverbs 15 and verse 20. Proverbs 15, 20. A wise son brings joy to his father. There it is. A foolish man despises his mother. And you see the contrast. Over and over again in the book of Proverbs, God is elevating the parent-child relationship, and he's saying to us, you need to honor and value and listen to and obey your mom and dad. Now, some of you here this morning, you may have been robbed of a meaningful relationship with one or both of your parents. That's really not your fault. It could be that maybe when you were younger, your parents died before you really got to know them, one of them or both of them. Maybe you were raised in foster care. Maybe your parents divorced, and perhaps one of your parents has been sort of an absentee parent. But whatever the reason is, again, it's not your fault. And you say, well, Dave, what do I do with this issue of honoring my mom and dad? Well, what I would say is this. Many times I've seen when parents seem to be removed from a child's life, God will bring other people into that person's life to serve, to act as parental-type people, encouragers and lovers and affirmers. And I would say to you, if God has brought those kind of people into your life, even though they're not maybe your biological parents, you need to honor those people. You need to value those people. You need to let them know that they're important. They're important to you because God's brought them into your life. But for many of you here this morning, you probably have an ongoing relationship with your mom and dad. And much of it's a blessing and an encouragement, but I'm sure the relationship is not perfect. There may be some conflicts. There may be some disagreements. Can I ask you this morning, how many of you say, Dave, honestly, my mom or my dad or both of them, they drive me nuts at times. Aaron, do not put up your hand. Thank you. You know, sometimes, as much as we love each other, we can drive each other crazy. And in the midst of all of those challenges, in the midst of those conflicts at times, you know what God still says? You need to honor your mom and dad. If you're wise, you may not always agree, but you'll honor them. You'll value them. You'll listen to what they say. Let me show you a couple more verses. Proverbs 23. Let's go to Proverbs 23. Just to emphasize how important this is. Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who gave you life. Listen to him. And do not despise your mother. Notice, when she is what? Old. You know what? Sometimes as our parents age, they're not as sharp as they used to be. They're not as fast as they used to be. And you're trying to help and you're trying to encourage. Often they say sometimes the older we get, we become more like kids. This verse says, don't despise your mom or your dad when they get old. You say, Dave, is this really that important to God? Well, let me show you one more verse. Proverbs 30. Go there real quick. Proverbs 30, verse 17. Proverbs 30, verse 17. This is pretty straightforward. It says, the eye that mocks a father, that scorns an aged mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. Is that not clear to anybody? Does anybody need some further explanation? The point here is this is how seriously God takes this. And God says, you want to have wise relationships? It begins in the home. It begins when you're young. And as you age, to honor your mom and dad as best you can. Here's the second thing. If you're wise, you'll be kind to others. Boy, we see that a lot in Proverbs. You'll be kind to others. Longfellow has written a poem about this. I like what he says. H.W. Longfellow says, kind hearts are the gardens, kind thoughts are the roots, kind words are the flowers, kind deeds are the fruits. Take care of your garden. And keep out the weeds, fill it up with sunshine, kind words and kind deeds. Perhaps we all need to pray that prayer, this little childhood prayer, maybe every day. The prayer goes like this, God, please make the bad people good and make the good people nice. Maybe we need to pray that prayer. The issue of kindness, it's nice to be nice. The Apostle Paul writes about this in Philippians 2. Look at what Paul says in this regard. He says to us, don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they are doing. What's Paul saying? He's simply saying this, if you're wise, you're going to be kind to others. You're going to put their interests into your agenda, into your mind, into your heart. You're going to be concerned about their accomplishments, their goals, their dreams. And you're going to become a cheerleader. You're going to become somebody who starts a fan club and says, hey, you can do this. You're going to show kindness to others. It was Dale Carnegie. Maybe you know that name, this relationship guru from many years ago now. He said this. He said, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get people interested in you. Isn't that true? When we reach out to others, God often reaches back into our lives. Let me show this to you. Proverbs 11. Let's turn there. As we think about being kind to people. Proverbs 11 and verse 7. Sorry, 17. Proverbs 11, 17. Those who are kind, notice this, those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin on themselves. Isn't it interesting? The Bible says when you're kind to others, there's blessing coming back to you. It's like boomerang joy. You try to bless somebody else, the blessing comes back to you. And then look at chapter 14, Proverbs 14, 21. It says there that it is a sin to despise one's neighbor. Blessed is the one who is kind, notice again, to the needy. All the way through Proverbs, you see this issue of being kind, but especially the emphasis is being kind to those in need. Let me show you one more passage. Go to chapter 24 for a sec. Proverbs 24. And again, look at what God says about this issue of being kind to those in need. Proverbs 24, verse 11. We read there, rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those who are staggering towards slaughter. And if you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay everyone according to what they have done? You know, what's that saying to us about relationships? God's saying in his word that we need to be aware of those in need and get involved in their situations. Don't just stand on the sidelines. Don't just assume somebody else will do it or somebody else will jump in. God says, I know your heart. I know you saw the need and you walked away. God's calling us to step into lives and be helpful and encouraging and help people who particularly are in need. Now, I got to tell you, that takes a lot of work. That's draining. That's exhausting at times. It's a lot easier just to stand on the sidelines, critical, waving the finger, you know, negative, critical, judging. But God says, I want you to be kind, particularly to those who are in need. I like what John Wesley said on this. He said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Does that cover everything? I think just about everything. The call here is to be involved. To step up. And I want to ask you, before we go on to the third point here, can I ask you, is the Spirit of God perhaps bringing somebody to mind this morning? Or some situation to mind? And God's saying to you, that person, that need, I want you to step in. I want you to encourage. I want you to make that phone call. I want you to bring those groceries, whatever it is. You want to be wise in relationships? God says, you got to be a kind, affirming cheerleader in other people's lives. Here's the third thing. If you're wise, you're going to keep your mouth shut. Now, we're going to talk about more about this in a few weeks' time, but I'm telling you, you can't read through the book of Proverbs. Almost every chapter, there are multiple verses on the power of our words. What we say, what we don't say, how we say it. Take a look at this picture, if you can see it up here. Now, for those of you, who are just listening to this, my apologies, but it's a picture of a little girl. That black thing in her hand, in case you don't know what that is, that's called a telephone, okay? If you've never seen one of those before. But look at what this is going back a few, to a previous year. Well, Mary, I was shocked to see Susie chewing gum during church. And then I saw Billy hiding a comic book inside his Bible, and Timothy only put a penny in the offering plate when I knew he had a dime. She's probably part of the church prayer line, what she's doing, right? Sometimes in church, we can be guilty of talking about stuff that we really don't need to talk about. The Bible, of course, calls this gossip. And this can be so detrimental to relationships. Look what Solomon writes about this. Proverbs 6, this is what he says. He says, there are seven things that the Lord hates. seven things he can't tolerate. That's pretty strong words. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that kill innocent people, a mind that thinks up wicked plans, feet that hurry off to do evil, a witness who tells one lie after another, and someone who stirs up trouble amongst friends. God says, I hate that. I can't tolerate that. And one of the ways we can stir up trouble so often is by opening our mouth when we really should be keeping it closed. Let's look at a few verses. Let's go to Proverbs 11 and just look at these real quick. Proverbs 11 and verse 13. Proverbs 11, 13. It says there, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Can you keep a secret? If someone says to you, I'm sharing with you in confidence. Now, unless they're going to do them self-harm or somebody else harm or they're doing something illegal. But if they share something with you in confidence, can you keep that confidence? Are you able to keep that secret that they've asked you to keep? Look at Proverbs 16 for a moment. Proverbs 16 and verse 28. 16:28. A perverse person stirs up conflict. A gossip separates close friends. It's pretty self-explanatory. Let me show you one more. Proverbs 17, the very next chapter, verse 9. Whoever would foster love covers an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. What's it saying? What's Solomon saying? What's the Bible saying? It's saying over and over again, one of the quickest ways to ruin a relationship is through gossip. And I want to say to you this morning, just because you know something doesn't mean you have to say something. Would you say that with me? Just because you know something doesn't mean you have to say something. God would call us many, many times to just keep our mouths closed. And we're going to talk about, actually in a couple of weeks, Lord willing, we're going to look specifically at the power of words and what the book of Proverbs says on this. But for now, for today, maybe this is enough. If we're wise, most of the time we'll keep our mouths shut. Two more. If you're wise in relationships, now this is an interesting one, you will care front cautiously. You'll care front cautiously. You say, Dave, I've never heard of the word care front. Isn't it confront? Well, I think there is confronting, obviously, but maybe from a Christian perspective, we want to care front. We want to confront, but we want to do it carefully and cautiously and wisely and biblically. In fact, in your sermon notes this week, in the Digging Deeper questions, I think it's question number 6. There's a whole little section there about what it might look like to confront someone carefully and wisely. And you might want to check that out. But maybe some of you are saying, well, Dave, is this really our job? I mean, in relationships, aren't we supposed to not judge people? Aren't we just supposed to, you know, let them live and let me live and all is well? Well, you hear a lot of that in the world today, actually. You hear a lot of people say, oh, it's wrong to judge. You can't judge me. And the truth is, the Bible makes it clear, our job is not to judge everybody and everything that they're doing. But you know what? In the church, God calls us to lovingly judge, lovingly confront. In fact, I was talking with my son Jacob a couple of days ago. He's preaching in his church in a couple of weeks, and he's preaching from Matthew 18. You might want to jot this down. Matthew 18, 15 to 19. And we talked for an hour about that passage. But that's the passage where Jesus says, If you see a brother or sister who is sinning, you need to confront them by yourself. And if they don't listen to you, bring one or two others. And if they don't listen to that, then you bring it to the church. And if they still don't listen, then basically you treat them as if they're an unbeliever. Now that's strong teaching from Jesus. But part of right relationships, certainly within the body, is that we need to care enough to confront one another. Take a look at Proverbs 27. Let's turn there real quick. Proverbs 27 and verse 5 and 6. Proverbs 27, verse 5. It says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Verse 6, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. You know what? You might think, boy, to be wise in our relationships, we should always be loving and kind and affirming and positive. And yes, I think that's the spirit in which we do things. But this verse says just to simply, you know, smother somebody with kisses isn't always the right course of action. Notice the first part of verse 6 says, sometimes if you're really a friend, you'll need to wound. You think, how does that work? How can that be? That's what the Bible calls us to confront carefully. And I think perhaps one of the reasons that maybe we don't grow in our lives as believers sometimes is that we don't have those kind of people in our lives. We don't have friends in our lives that we open up the door to allow them to speak honestly and frankly about where we're at. We don't have people in our lives that say, hey, I love you, I believe in you, I want to affirm you, encourage you, but you're missing the mark here, or you're getting off the path here, and I'm worried about you, I'm concerned for you. I need to call you back to where you need to be. Cindy, you're nodding, saying, yeah, we need that, we all need that. I want to ask you, have you got somebody like that in your life? Have you got somebody in your life that will call a spade a spade? Or have you put up such a barrier that people wouldn't even try because you're so resistant? Do you have people in your life that care enough to confront you? And let me ask the opposite question. Do you care enough to confront somebody if you see things that are off kilter in terms of what the Scripture would teach or what God would want? We need to do it, but we need to do it carefully. Proverbs 24:26 says, an honest answer is a sign of true friendship. Did you hear that? An honest answer is the sign of true friendship. So if I'm wise, I will confront. I'll do it carefully. And here's the last thing, number 5 that I saw in Proverbs. If you're wise, you will choose your friends carefully. You will choose your friends carefully. But you see this all through the book of Proverbs. And you might want to read through the book of Proverbs even this week, the chapters you read looking for these relational principles. But take a look at this verse, Proverbs 12:26. It says this, a righteous man is cautious in friendship. The way of the wicked leads them astray. You might want to circle the word cautious. A wise person is cautious when it comes to their friendships. Let's go to Proverbs 13, and let me show you another verse. Proverbs 13, I want to see if you agree with this verse or not. Proverbs 13:20, it says, walk with the wise and become what? Wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. Now, do you agree with that verse? Do you think a person can create problems and difficulties in their life because they've chosen the wrong kind of friends? Do you know anybody who's ruined their life perhaps because they hung around with the wrong kind of people? It happens. And so God would call us in His Word when it comes to being wise in relationships to choose our friends really, really carefully. Let's go to Proverbs 24. Let me show you one more verse here. Proverbs 24, verse 1 and 2. Proverbs 24. It says there, don't envy the wicked. Don't desire their company. Why? For their hearts plot violence. Their lips talk about making trouble. There it is. It says, don't envy, don't long for relationship with people that aren't walking with the Lord. And so Solomon's saying, listen, when it comes to friendship, choose your friends really carefully. When it comes to friendship, you need to focus on quality, not quantity. It was Benjamin Franklin who put it this way. He said, be slow in choosing a friend, slower in changing. Those are good words. Slow in choosing a friend. See, there are different kinds of relationships, aren't there? There are acquaintances where people we know, we say hi to, maybe it's the next door neighbor we greet as we drive in. But then secondly, there are companions. Maybe these are people you work with. These might be people you're on a sports team with, or you have some sort of a committee you're serving on. Companions, or acquaintances, companions. But then there's a third kind of relationship, and that's those, I would call them deep relationships, close relationships, those relationships that you have very few of. And Solomon says when it comes to those, you don't need a lot, you just need the right ones. Let me show you another verse, Proverbs 17. Turn to Proverbs 17. And verse 17, Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. You may want to circle the word all. A friend loves, a true friend, loves at all times. A friend walks in when everybody else walks out. A true friend is in your corner even when you're cornered. And the book of Proverbs here says that a true friend is going to love you all the time. Boy, we need those kind of relationships. Proverbs 18:24 says, some friendships don't last, but some friends are more loyal than brothers. Wow. You mean you can have people in your life that are even closer than your siblings or your family? Yes. God can provide those people for you. Those who are loyal, those who are committed. And so can I ask you this morning, how many committed friends do you have? How many quality close friends do you have? Those people that will speak to you honestly. And how many of those have you said, you know what, I'm committed to you too? And they know it. They know you're there through thick and thin. Again, when the Bible says you don't need a lot of friends, you just need a few good friends, a few solid friends. By the way, as we're wrapping up here this morning, when it comes to being wise in relationships and choosing our friends wisely, can I say to you this morning, the number one friendship that you need to be pursuing is a relationship with Jesus Christ. You say, I want to choose my friends wisely. I would say, yes, at the top of your list needs to be a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me show you one more verse as we're wrapping up here this morning. Go to Proverbs 29, if you would, please. Proverbs 29, many of you know this verse when we get there. 29:25. And often I think we focus on the first part of this verse. Proverbs 29:25 says, fear of man will prove to be a snare. Have you heard of that verse before? If you fear man, you're putting yourself in a trap, you're in a snare. That's true. But notice the second part. Whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. You say, Dave, I long for that. I long for safety. I long for security. I long for stability in relationship. Then what I would say is, look at what that verse says. You got to trust in the Lord. You got to trust in Jesus. He came to reestablish relationship with you and with me. That's what the cross is all about. In fact, take a look at this verse as we're wrapping up this morning from Romans 5. It'll be on the screen. Look at what Paul writes. Paul says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time to die for us sinners. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still what? Sinners. It's not like we had something to offer to God. God says, you're in desperate conditions. I'm coming to rescue you. Then he says this, since we were restored to friendship with God by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by his life. So now we can rejoice. Why? We can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, making us, wow, friends of God. Is God your friend? Is Jesus Christ your companion, your friend? That's why he came. He came to bring reconciliation to a broken relationship because of sin. And on the cross, he paid the price for your sin and for mine so we could be forgiven. So we again could have right relationship with the Lord. Because ahead of that, we were sinners. Ahead of that, we were actually, the Bible says, enemies of God. You say, I'm not an enemy of God. Well, you know what? Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're what? You're against me. And so we need to be committed to relationship in Jesus Christ in a personal way. I want to ask you again, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Is he your friend? And if not, would you like him to be? We're going to close with a final song. We're going to sing that song again, that our fear doesn't stand a chance when we're standing in God's love. But before we do that, would you stand with me? I'm just going to pray as we close this part of the service. And I want to lead you in a prayer. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, I want to invite you to do that right now. So why don't we stand? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for this teaching in Proverbs about relationships. We know that our highest highs and our lowest lows in life so often are connected to people and relationships. And so help us to be wise, Lord. Help us to live out our relationships in a way that is in accordance with your word, that we'd be able to be faithful in these things you've taught us today. Lord, I pray this morning, maybe there's somebody here who would say, Dave, I know about God, I've heard about Jesus, but I don't have a relationship with him. I certainly wouldn't consider him my friend, but I want that. I long for relationship with my Creator. If you're here this morning and that's the desire of your heart, right now, would you pray a prayer, something like this in your heart? Would you say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for coming to earth and dying for me, even when I was a sinner. Today I confess my sin. I admit that I need a Savior, and you are my Savior. I trust you today. Help me now to walk with you. Thank you for your friendship day in and day out, that you're never going to leave me. You're never going to abandon me. I trust you, Jesus, today as Lord and Savior. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a moment as we close off, if you prayed that prayer today, you've never prayed that prayer before, but today you said yes to Jesus and invited him to be your Savior, would you raise your hand right where you are so we can just rejoice with you today? Is there anyone here this morning who would say, today, I trusted Christ as Savior? Is there anyone? Just raise your hand where you are. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Lord, I thank you today for this dear lady who's raised her hand today. I pray that your spirit will bear witness with her spirit that she's a child of God, that she's forgiven, that her home is heaven, that you're preparing a place for her. Thank you, Lord, that we as a church can have the joy of walking with her in that journey. So bless her today. Bless us now as well as we sing this final song. Strengthen our hearts with faith and remove fear from our lives, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's remain silent.